It's 105 heat index right now, where depending on where you are. So it doesn't really feel like summer's over, but the series is over. And it was a great series. I enjoyed it a lot. There were several lessons that we all maybe came and listened to that were just really inspirational. Some of the comparisons that were made during the summer series about different people in the Bible were very interesting that I had never considered before. Maybe some of the things that we had studied actually helped me prepare for this series on prayer. And for me, there's been a lot of rhetoric in the world that we live in. Just for everyone here to know, I'm not a minister. I'm not really a trained professional as far as teaching or preaching as it goes. But several years ago, especially when COVID happened, there was so many things that were said in the pulpit regarding the direction of the country based on decisions the government was making, and then of course the rhetoric in our political climate. And then there would be people with good intentions get in front of us, in front of our children, in front of all of us in this congregation, and they would say pretty tough things to hear about how bad the world is going. We don't have any hope. You know, it's just never going to turn around. And that's the kind of things a lot of us heard. And especially me, I considered those things because, you know, when you come here, you want to be inspired. You want to worship God. You want to rejuvenate yourself so that you can go out and actually be that light. And I was paying particular attention to some of the demeanor that I would see with the younger group here. And it was a concern because I read an old sermon by a guy named G.K. Wallace. And there's not many lessons out there that I can see that have been published about prayer. And one of the things he started off with was, prayer is the most underutilized tool that Christians have for a lot of things. And the unfortunate thing is that we sometimes utilize prayer only when we're trying to get a fire put out. It's only when we really, really are backed into a corner that we actually depend on prayer in our prayer life. And so, yes, that's true. You need to do that. I mean, that's certainly there for that. But there's so much more that prayer can give a Christian. In the Bible, in Romans, it talks about if you don't even know what you're going to say, you have no idea what you're worried about, what's really concerns you. You know, you don't have words for that. That Christians are given the Holy Spirit that will actually make those words for you to God. I mean, that is an incredible avenue of communication. Think about that. I don't really know what to say to God Almighty, Holy God Almighty. What am I going to say to Him? Sometimes I don't even feel like I can say anything to God. I don't really feel like I'm worthy of saying something to God. So to me, you know, having a complex problem, a complex issue, a concern, or a hope that I have in something, but I don't really know how to put words to it, we're given the promise that we will have the Holy Spirit make up those words that we can't come up with and petition our Lord for that. That's incredible. I really never thought about that so much until this study. And you know, we all have a right to get up and be concerned about the direction of our country. I mean, I'm not saying that is not what we should do. I mean, let me share something with you. I have a desire every day to call my dad. He, you know, is still alive. Thank you that he is. But he is still available to me for me to call him. And I got to thinking about that because during the day, there are several people that call me. And sometimes I don't want to pick up the phone because I know they want something. They want something from me that maybe I can't provide them, or I've already provided them and they're just asking again, or they want relief or something. I don't really know, but sometimes I don't want to pick up the phone. But my dad will always pick up the phone, or he'll text me and say, I will call you right back. And he does. He'll call me right back. That isn't just a custom text thing. You hit, you know, and say, I'm on the phone. I'm sorry, I'll call you right back. And like 3 days later, you go, oh, I forgot to call you back. No, that's my dad calls me right back. And sometimes we have discussions that are about politics. They're about money. They're about relationships, children, sickness, things that are sad. And, you know, if you hear that all the time, you don't want to really talk to that person all the time. I mean, that can really wear us down as humans. We're not really made for that, you know? We can't take it all the time. It needs to be positive sometimes. We really need to be encouraged. But sometimes it can go weeks on end where we're discussing some issue that we're both, maybe I'm upset about, and he's just listening. But he always picks the phone up. That's like our God. He will never, ever not pick up the phone. It's an amazing thing. We can gain a lot of faith and understanding about this tool from several things that are listed in the Bible. We can see where Jeremiah is very upset about the fact that there's idol worship and the nation is a crumbling nation. And even in 1 John, the writer says, we're not going to pray for people that, God says, don't pray for people that worship idols. God hates idol worship. It's like one of those sins that you just, they're too far gone to even get help for that. And, you know, Jeremiah says, you guys are idol worshipers and it's bad. It's going to go really bad for you. We'll get into that later in the series, but he basically lists, you know, several things. And you can take those things and you can pray for our country. It's like a play-by-play series, much like the Lord's Prayer. It's a list. It lists out, hey, if you want your nation to recover, these are the bullet points we need to concentrate on. These are the things that we need to pray about. So the tool is there. The whole model for prayer is there for all kinds of things. We're also going to talk about the need to have faith to make prayer work. And Ed Redmond had a really good lesson on the summer series, and he was talking about fear. And the fear that Esther had and Peter had were two different types of fear. Both are scared, but they had different types of outcome. But the interesting thing about the Esther story is that Esther was convinced by her, I guess, father, Mordecai, and said, go back, prepare a feast. No, I'm sorry. Prepare everyone to fast and pray. Get ready because I'm going to do this thing for the Jews. And she went through the process and prepared. If you read everything from about Esther 6 on, she prepared everyone's mind first towards God for the blessing to go through this process and win favor with the king and survive. But she prepared herself so she could overcome fear and anxiety, which is what prayer will give us. And so therefore, she went through the process. She made great preparation and it worked out. It wasn't a quick and easy thing. It took work. It took faith. And then there's Peter. Peter was indeed faithful, but Peter just jumps up and decides he's going to walk on water. And then realized, wait a minute, I got a problem here. There's water, it's whirling around, there's wind, there's storm. He took his eyes off of Jesus, what the scripture says, but he realized when he stepped out that he was on top of water. I mean, it was a pretty big shock. He didn't make any preparation. He didn't psych himself up. He just went out and did it, which was a great thing to do. A lot of us need to just jump out there and do it, but we still need to prepare ourselves so we don't fail at that. And he did fail at that. He sank. It's a great story in the Bible, and he overcame fear for a moment. He got fear again because he took his eyes off of Jesus. And we'll talk about that. We're going to talk about the Lord's Prayer, about the basics. We're going to talk about public prayer, about our attitude towards prayer, what prayer is and how it works in the Bible. These are a lot of things we're going to talk about, and we're going to do it in, I think it's 12 or 13 weeks. But I'd like to talk about prayer tonight based on the fact that it's a design that God put for us. I'm a builder now, so I'm going to have to use a builder analogy. Let's just say I want to build a building. You know, you've all heard you can just take a napkin and draw something on the napkin at like a Waffle House or whatever and go, hey, this is what I want. And I know HGTV is really over-sensationalized. It made it look so easy. But let me tell you, it's not that easy. But there is a designer involved in every single thing that we build. And we have a designer, which is God. There's a plan that's produced by the designer. And the design is there for me to go back and refer to occasionally. And that plan, in similarity, would be the Bible. And then there's the builder. You know, there's a guy that's going to go take the plan and actually execute the plan. Well, that's us. We do that. So where does prayer fit into this exactly? Well, I call it an RFI. Does anybody know what an RFI is? Anybody? It's a request for information. It's a huge term that contractors use all the time. When we don't understand what the design says, we use this thing called an RFI. And sometimes we get an answer in 2 weeks, and contractually they should give you that answer in 2 weeks, sometimes sooner. But sometimes you don't get a good answer at all. But we can use our request for information with prayer. We can get help with our issues that we have with the design, interpretation of the design, and the building of our lives with request to God. That's a very, very simple analogy, but I'm a simple person, so that's what you're going to get. I'd like to share with you another thing. Like calling my father, you know, I would like to share that there are some people that I try to call and develop a relationship that don't seem to fit that mold. They don't seem to fit the mold of like my dad would fit. Because one day dad's going to be gone and I'm going to need that person. I just do. I think we all do. And you've got to find that person that is capable of loving you unconditionally. And so that balance for me is a key importance in my growth and spiritual growth. And so prayer is to God, prayer like we're going to talk about in this lesson, but having someone that you can talk to and discuss things with is a critical importance, and they need to be like-minded. And we're going to talk about that too. So, has anybody used AI, artificial intelligence. You know, it's a new thing. You have? Good. Thank you for admitting that. I thought I was going to be all alone on this one. Google has a platform they used to call Bard, B-A-R-D. It's now turned into Gemini. I've done a little reading about this because it's super interesting to me, because in the building business, we're developing models that learn. And normally, it's taken with a drone. They call it LIDAR. It's a image they take with a drone that's basically connected with GPS mapping. It helps us learn how we're building. As a matter of fact, if you set a bolt in concrete, this thing can fly over the site. It can survey the site, and it can tell you if that bolt is within 1/16 of an inch out of tolerance. It's just flying around, taking images. This AI is helping us develop really good measures to build much more efficient, safely, fast. But AI also is only as good as the questions it's being asked. One thing I know is our kids are using AI. Now, the reason I bring it up is because, let's say I have an issue or problem, I can't call my dad, and I'm not a faithful member of the church, so I'm not going to pray, or a faithful person at all, or I don't even know about prayer. I'm going to probably, because how easy it is to get to AI, I'm going to use AI to help me answer a question. I mean, we used to just Google it, right? But now you can actually ask a question. Now, depending on how you ask the question, you will get some really amazing answers. And we're going to share some of those with you as well. I am. You can type into Gemini, what is prayer? And prayer, that will give you an answer that it's across the board. It will say things about supplication and thanksgiving and grateful and gratitude and things like that. It also delves into publications that are outside of the Bible as we know it. It'll get into the Quran. It'll get into the Catholic writings. It'll get into several other publications, Book of Mormon. So you have to be specific about it. So to write a question that refers to the New King James Version of the Bible, you can do that, and it will pull data specifically from that document. And the more we ask it, the more it learns. So I think that it's not a bad idea to use AI if we can ask the right questions, so that it begins to learn and forms an opinion that is exactly right, that is biblical. Very close now, right now, the way it writes their answers. It's amazing. So I'm going to show you what I've found in that as well. So as an introduction to this class, I'm sharing with you concern I have about whether or not I or anyone else is doing the best job we can at understanding and utilizing prayer. Our prayer life is so critically important, and it's a great, powerful tool. Does anyone have any questions about anything that I've talked about tonight? Any comments at all? Yes, sir. Well, as far as the fascinating, the building part or the artificial intelligence part? Yeah. Well, we've been praying an awful long time. And we had this, I grew up in the church in a small congregation in north central Florida. And there was a gentleman there that worked for the railroad. His name was Robert Palmer. And he had a voice that everybody liked to hear. You know, it was a deep voice. He had great command of his language, pleasing to hear. You know, he's like a radio disc jockey, which I don't even know if they exist anymore, to be honest with you. But Robert Palmer was one of the best memories I have of a child getting up and actually offering a prayer up. I'm sure all of you have those people that you grew up in formidable years. There were people that got up in the congregation and offered prayers, and you remember those, some of the things that you remember from those things. But he would always say, thank you for the Bible, for without it, we wouldn't know what to do. He'd always say that. And as far as a public prayer goes, you know, he was very good at it. And we'll go over that in this series about public prayer, because, you know, Jesus addresses public prayer and talks about it as well. Yes, ma'am.
What town was that?
It was a small town called High Springs, Florida.
That was his uncle.
Robert Palmer was your uncle? That's amazing. That is a small world. You look kind of like Robert Palmer. Now I've got the connection. It's the Tennessee that's throwing me off. Yeah, he was an amazing guy. He had a really nice pocket watch because he was on the railroad, you know. It's awesome to watch when I was about 5 or 6 years old. I'd never forget that.
Grandmother's younger, one of her younger brothers.
Oh, that's amazing. I'd like to talk to you some more tonight. Sorry about that. Well, I'm excited about it. I could talk some more about it, but I'm not certain what time should this be over. I think it's, is it 30 minutes? Oh, with a bell. That's right. We forget about the bell.
First bell.
Okay. All right. 10 after. Well, I'm not going to be able to squeeze in too much more on my introduction. But I would like to end with prayer. But any other comments that we could talk about? Any other things that you're thinking about? Are you concerned about I'm sure everyone's concerned about the nation, the election that's coming up, our livelihoods, our safety in this world. I read Jeremiah, and I just don't see anything as bad as that. I know we all think it's terrible, and it is. But there are some things in the Bible that are far worse than where we are today. And I'm encouraged by that. And there is hope. But we certainly should use prayer and petition God when we have those concerns.
Senator, or they might be the wrong party, they might be red or blue or whatever, I don't think I am, and we're still commanded to pray for them because God recognizes that they're in authority because he put them there, and he says, I want you as Christians to pray for them. And now, how would you pray for Nero?
Well, we all have a desire for others to change their way, definitely go back to God. But the prayer also is for us to find peace as well. There are several times in my life where things would get heated in family discussions. And I would say, or not me, but my father or someone, even my mother would say, Let's just pray about this. And it, I mean, it could take a DEFCON, I don't know what the highest is, I don't remember, but you can get really high as far as tension in a house. And that's just normal. That's just the way it is. You don't like it. It's uncomfortable. Things can be said that will be never taken back. But if you can say, let's just take 5 minutes and just pray. Most of the time, everyone settles down because you're going to God in prayer. And when you do that, it most of the time, if your household is like mine, everybody gets really quiet. And it's a great way for you to gain control and peace in a tense situation. It's a super way to do that. So when we do, when we're talking about Paul, and we will, we'll talk about Paul. We're going to talk about persecution. And we're going to talk about leaders that don't deserve a prayer. But really, they need a prayer. They have to have a prayer. They don't, you don't feel like sometimes they deserve it, but it's required that we do it. So our attitude should be that we want to pray for our enemies. We want to pray for those that are persecuting us. And we want to give thanks that we are a person that we are and are persecuted for that. Because those trials are going to build our faith. All of those things are really interconnected. Thank you for that. Any other comments? I'll keep rolling this lectern further and closer and closer. All right, we'll end with prayer. I know we're a little early tonight, but I'm not good at the timing thing. Like I said, I just so you know, to your benefit, I am not a professional or trained speaker, but I will do the best I can. So let's all pray right now. Lord God, thank you so much for being our God. We pray, Father, that we are coming to you right now with holy and cleansed lives, that we can speak to you and you are hearing us. Thank you, Father, for this tool that you give us. We pray, Father, that we utilize it more. We pray that we influence others by showing a strong prayer life, intentional prayer life. We're thankful, Father, for the time that we can pray. We're thankful, Father, for you listening to us every time we petition you. We're thankful, Father, for the blessings and the promises that you provide us. We pray, Father, for humility and compassion and love for one another. We pray that we're kind and gentle. We pray, Father, for those that are hurting and need help. We pray, Father, for the sick. We pray for the lost. We pray, Father, that those that are not looking to you can and will look to you. We pray that our influence will help providentially get us through a problem, make it better for us. We're thankful for the group that meets here, that every person that comes and shows their love to be here and to learn, listen, and contribute. We're thankful for all those that behind the scenes are doing what they're doing to help this church function and expand and grow. We're thankful for the Bible and everything that it gives us, and for without it, we wouldn't know what to do. And we pray, Father, that we always remember your Son that gave us this avenue, that we can come directly to you. And in his name we pray. Amen.